Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, October the 31st, 2010.
Kids this morning did a great job. And they talked about God's love and talked about exalting God. But, oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show.
Now the ladies' ensemble is going to come and minister in song.
God chose us to be His very own before the creation of the world.
He decided then to make us holy in His eyes.
Without a single fault.
Stand beside Him, covered in His love.
His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family.
By sending Jesus Christ to die for us.
And He did this
because He wanted to.
Before the world was known, He chose me to be His very own. He made me, then let me choose my way. I chose to move away. He loved me when hope had taken wing. He loved me when I lost everything. He bought me. Redemption's work was done through Jesus Christ, His Son. Who shall separate me from the love?
Sure that neither death nor life nor angels
things present, nor things to come. Not eyes, nor death, nor any creature shall separate me from the love of God. Through Jesus Christ.
Great job, ladies. He loved me, based on Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, I believe. Isn't that a great promise that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Thank you again, ladies. Well, we want to continue to try to glorify God in our singing. And the chorus goes, "Glorify thy name." We'll just sing the first verse.
Father, we love you. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness.
Praying about the missions conference, about what the Lord would have you to do. There's a verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, stuck there in that little book. It says, "My eye affects my heart." And we saw the video this morning. People who have never heard the gospel, a little girl, but your eye does affect your heart. So if you can, and I know there are work situations, but if you can, come to all the meetings. Your eye will affect your heart, and God will be pleased with our response to Him. Pray for our missionaries that are coming, if you would. And again, that God will just be able to work in all of our hearts. We're going to sing it's an old missionary hymn by Fanny Crosby, "Rescue the Perishing." Won't you stand for these last couple songs, all right?
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus.
And then people need the Lord. Just absolutely, people need the Lord.
People need the Lord.
Okay, we're so glad to have the Staubs to be able to share with us. And so, Scott, if you will come.
It's a true blessing to be able to be here at home and be able to share with you all this evening. And I just have one announcement before we show some of our presentation this evening. The Spanish church, Nueva Vida, we'll be hosting a Thanksgiving dinner in the hospitality room following the morning service. That is on November the 21st. And you're all welcome to come. And they're preparing different foods and so forth. And if you'd like to bring a dish, I know some Sunday school classes have already volunteered to bring dishes for this. Would you please get in touch with Lucy Perez? Her number is 423-903-9099. And that would be a great help to help our Spanish church. And I visited this morning, and it was a good time of fellowship and worship, and kind of reminds me of those little churches that we have in Romania in the houses. So it's great to be a part of something like this. So if you can, be a part of this November the 21st, and I know they would appreciate your help and your prayers, if nothing else. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. I bring you greetings this evening from Ankeny, Iowa, First Family Church there, Todd Stiles. Many of you know Dr. Stiles' son, Todd. He and his wife started a church out there in Ankeny and moved into a new building. They purchased a sports hall, a recreation center, and they were able to purchase it, I think, for around $600,000, and were able to get into it for at $800,000. Just an amazing story to hear. And while I was there, I stayed with Marty and Sheila Kelly. So they send their greetings as well. For those of you that know Marty and Sheila, it's great to be with them and to have supporting churches and to see what God is doing in their lives. So this evening, before we go to the scripture, I'd like to just share something with you. I phoned my teammates who are in Romania this evening to get an update. We have a team this week that is one of our church plants there in the city, Alpha Omega Church, sent a group of college students to Istanbul this week to do a survey trip, teach them about missions. It's kind of a survey trip / training session to teach them about missions. And while they were there today, there was a bombing in Istanbul, and some 32 people were injured. They were quite a ways away from them, about 40 miles away, so they weren't anywhere near it. But they did ask for our prayer. So I'd like tonight, if we could, just bow our heads and go to the Lord and pray for them. Father, tonight I just want to thank you for this opportunity to share what you are doing and the exciting things that we can see are in the world around us and what you are doing and still doing. The theme for our conference this year is exciting. It is an open door, and it's just amazing to see how doors just keep opening and keep opening, and some are shutting, but some are open, and fields that we thought were closed in the past have now opened, and we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve you here in the States and also around the world. We thank you for this church who's dedicated itself to expand and share the gospel throughout the world and send its people throughout all the world. So, Lord, we thank you for this night that we can be together. We also, Lord, think of Tom and Alex as they are hosting the group there in Istanbul this week. And, Lord, I just pray for Tom, his health. Think of Alex and his family at this time, and also the kids from Alpha Omega, Lord. We know that you want to teach them through this, and in the face of persecution, civil war, whatever the case may be, Lord, you are teaching them. And this may be something that will spark them to become missionaries for you in that part of the world. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, for the people that have opened their homes, the believers that have house churches there who've opened their homes, and they want to talk to the kids about what it is to be a missionary in a closed country. So, Lord, just bless this week. Keep them safe. Protect them. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when you come home on furlough, you are excited, you're full of energy, you can't wait to get home to share what God is doing on the field. And other times in the 13 years that we've been in the Romania, I kind of feel like those pilots in those old World War II planes coming into the aircraft carriers, and they're injured, and they barely make it, and they crash into the side of the plane, but they're safe, you know. And that's kind of how I felt as we arrived this time. We had one of our most difficult times on the field, and I'll share a little bit more about that. But I want to draw some ideas on this theme. And looking at how God builds a very passionate team for his work. We're talking about having open doors, and it's just interesting to see how Paul was and the state of mind he was in when he arrives in Corinth in chapter 18. If we will, let's read that together. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. And then if we can skip down to verse 9, where the Lord is talking to Paul here. And he said, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you, and I will have many in this, for I have many in this city who are my people. What a great encouragement to a discouraged missionary. If we look at this passage and go into the 17th chapter, we understand where Paul was coming from when he came to this place. And he was in Athens. At that time, it was the place of knowledge, education. It was a very interesting place to be sharing the gospel. And we read in chapter 17, as he's walking through all of these statues to different gods, he finds one to the unknown God. And just an exciting way that the teacher, the master teacher in this case, shares the gospel to these educated people, saying, I know who this unknown God is. And he shares the gospel with them. But as many times, we don't necessarily get the results that we want. And if you read the last verse in chapter 17, there was just a few that believed. Many of them, once he started talking about the resurrection, they doubted, they laughed, they mocked him. The persecution was there, but we see that the Lord did speak to some people and they did come to know the Lord. One of the first little girls that was born in Romania, and we learned Romanians choose different names, and they always seem to choose Bible names. Damaris was the one that they chose, and it was interesting that this particular lady that was saved in Athens was Damaris. And very interesting to see how God saved these people. But you can imagine being discouraged, not seeing much fruit, not seeing the salvation of many people and that maybe he'd seen in other places. And he is heading back about 50 miles to Corinth. Now, if Athens was the epitome of education, Corinth was the exact opposite of that. And we all know the history of Corinth. Just a very, 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 very difficult place, a place that was given over to idolatry, to all kinds of debauchery, and just an incredible place for Paul to have come from that. So you can imagine his state of mind. But what's interesting is this story unfolds for us. He runs into, and by chance, Lord's providence, he comes together with Aquila and Priscilla. Now, this couple is very interesting, and I want us to focus on this because it's interesting that they had needs of their own, didn't they? They were refugees. They were kicked out of Rome, and there's some debate on this particular time in history whether they were kicked out because they were believers. Some believe that there was already a church in Rome, and because there was arguing, as always, just whenever Paul would go into a synagogue and he would champion the cause for Christ, immediately there was a huge fight. We see this in the earlier passage in chapter 17, where he is actually chased out of one town. He goes to Berea. The people from the other town come down, chase him out of that town. And you can imagine, on the run, trying to teach and not being able to. And here he runs into a couple from Rome. And they're in the same situation. They're away from home. We have a Turk, Aquila, who was born in Pontus, which is in Turkey right now, and his wife, Priscilla, from Italy. So a very interesting time in Paul's life. And he comes in to get to know these people, and whether they were believers or not, it's interesting that they did have one thing in common, and it was work. And they knew how to make tents, to work with leather, and just an incredible time that they must have had working together, and Paul was given over to study because they were able to help him and they were able to work together. And I would like to draw some conclusions from that as we have been these 13 years in Romania, and Beth Ann will echo this. We've always been able to feel like we have been able to call any time and say, listen, we've got this need, and never more so than this year that we had. If I could describe to you some of the challenges that we faced this year, they were good things. You know, when you start rating stress in your life, you start looking at things that are really stressful, bad things, but also you have good things that cause stress, okay? One of those things was we were able to have our teammates who we've been praying for years to come to the field. Tom and his wife Gila, Gila's an MK from Argentina. Tom pastored, started a church in Indianapolis. And we were able to be there and help them get settled, work on their visas. And we were given over to encouraging them, making sure that they were hitting the ground running. Obviously, Tom is in Istanbul today, so you know that he made a seamless transition and is working very hard for the Lord. So it was really great for us to be able to do that. But again, it was very stressful. We also had to move all of our belongings, which were stored in someone's little cabin, and we had to move all those belongings into a 3-bedroom apartment in an apartment block. And so we really had to downsize. We really had to squeeze everything together. And you know how that is. That's very stressful. Anytime you move, you have so many things that you struggle with. But God was very gracious. We were very close to the school, very close to our partnering church, and we felt like that's where the Lord would have us to be. So it was exciting, but yet it was a time for us to have some difficulties and to see God's hand in those things. The next big thing that happened was an opportunity for ministry. And you saw the pictures from Istanbul when we took our team, had a missions roundtable in Istanbul, Turkey. And what that is we had one earlier in Hungary, 2 years earlier. And at that time, it was just ABWE people. And Dr. Loftus challenged us at the time and said, next time we have this, I just don't want to see ABWE people around the table. I want to see our national partners. Well, this time it was exciting because we brought them, and it was an exciting time. So I brought my partner, Pastor Ivanica, Octavian Ivanica, as he was pictured there. My teammate Tom brought Soterius Tataru, a good friend of ours and pastor friend. His church is Alpha Omega, the one that's sending the kids to Istanbul this week. And then Alex Vlashin, who is with the Baptist Union and in charge, one of the head guys in the missions department with the Baptist Union. And it was just an amazing time that we had together. And also we had another Romanian-speaking pastor from Moldova, and it was just a wonderful time. And the reason that we got together was we got together to share ideas and to plan and to hope. And from that, some exciting things happened. This is what I learned through that, was that God is still working. And it's amazing to see how God is working. Did you know that Ukraine has a goal of sending 2,000 churches started in Russia? They've already sent and plan to send 200 missionaries from Ukraine to Russia. This is amazing. These guys are just unstoppable. That's all they talked about, is what kind of plans they had, and they had PowerPoints with stars and exploding things on there. I mean, it was amazing. It was great to see what God is doing in their lives. And then when you talk to the guys in Moldova, they talk about their school getting all the kids from Central Asia, from all the stands, to come in to go to school and to see how they're being trained and they're being sent back to their countries. Pray for that area of the world. Alex Vlashin, who you saw a prayer card picture of his family in the pictures there, his brother had to leave Kyrgyzstan during the unrest that was just this year between the ethnic peoples that are in that part of that particular country. And Narcis was back in Romania by the time when we were getting ready to leave, didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know how he was going to get back because of all the unrest. So persecution is real. What Paul saw, what Paul experienced, we know that that's part of life as a believer. We're not here to get patted on the back or to have accolades. Many times we go into different churches and they're calling us our heroes. And I think we're just doing what you all are doing each and every day in our communities. We're just doing it in a different cultural context. And so we want to pass that on to you, that you have been in such an encouragement to us. Another great thing that I was able to glean from our meeting there in Istanbul was talking to my buddy Ivanica, Pastor Ivanica. As we were talking, I was saying, you know, I've been really burdened about Bulgaria. We are only an hour and a half from the city of Ruse, which is right on the border, right over the Danube, across the Friendship Bridge into Ruse, and we're only an hour and a half away. And I said, you know, it would be great for us to go down there. And while we were sitting there, he goes, I've been praying about that too. And matter of fact, I've just been there not too long ago. I found an email of a guy there, and we took some of our pastors from our church because we're burdened about going down there. And we went and we visited some churches. And so I said, well, you know, let's set a goal that in January we will make a trip. We'll take a trip together and we'll visit and see what's there. So in January, he and I and Brother Vlashing, Alex Vlashing, we all drove down in our van. We were able to meet with Pastor Ivu, the pastor of the church there. And it's the only Baptist church within a 250-kilometer radius. Very, very isolated place, city of about 150,000. Probably similar to Chattanooga, college town. It was the provincial capital of Bulgaria before Sofia was chosen, so it has a lot of history. But just some exciting things in talking with him that as we were talking about the future and possibly doing some things together, and the Romanian pastors were getting excited. From that, our partnering pastor, Pastor Boenjanu, you also saw his prayer card there. He started a pastor circle and asked us as ABW members to be a part of it. And this spring we were able to have a retreat. We had a retreat with the pastors, and We had 38 pastors and their wives come, and it was amazing to see them. It was only overnight. Tom's dad spoke, and it was just an amazing time together to share and to hear their burdens and what they're going through. And some gypsy pastors who are all by themselves out in these villages. And just an exciting time to be together. So the Lord has worked, but you know how that can be such a stress and such a difficulty. And as I look at this passage, I look at the people that are involved. First of all, we see Priscilla and Aquila, and what an encouragement they were with Paul. Not only did they work with him, but they also supported him in the ministry financially. But they were not only this type of people that are willing to encourage, to really nice people. You know, you have really nice type people in your church. But also, they were the type of people that wanted to be trained. And matter of fact, they took a missions trip with Paul in this chapter as well. So we see a great camaraderie there. We also see some other people that join him, Silas and Timothy. And they're coming to report, and he's getting a good report as he is in this very difficult time in his life, an exciting time. So as we have been focused on what the Lord has been doing in Romania, we have, I want to be very transparent, we've been going through some difficult times together. And this is, as I said, probably one of the most difficult years that we've had. But God has been so gracious and so good to us through this. I can't tell you all the times that our Romanian partners have come alongside us and encouraged us. Helping us with a project, or if a car broke down, they would help us with it. And just over and over again, we saw the love that they had for the Lord and for us. And it was just an exciting time this year. As you look at this passage, you see one thing that was really exciting to me. I love this about Paul, and I want to just share this, something that when we talk about Romania, about this as well. It says here that he went to the Jews, as you see in verse 7, actually a little bit before that, because as it was, he would always testify to the Jews that Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Now, I think this is one of the funniest passages in Scripture, because you understand that in their culture, they would do this to the Gentiles. And here he is, a Jew, saying this very same thing to the Jews. You know, you guys have rejected the gospel. I am innocent in this. And he shook his cloak and said, "I'm going to go to the Gentiles." But what's funny about this passage is he goes right next door. The guy who lives right next door to the synagogue, he goes and starts a house church there. So it's kind of funny to me that it's interesting to see that the Lord has a sense of humor. He's not that far from the Jews anyway. And I'm sure that there were a few Jews that just went over next door and talked to Paul and came to know the Lord. But just an exciting time that you see how God is working. And God is working in Romania. Some of the most exciting things are happening amongst young people with missions. And we just had our team went to a camp in Ukraine this year, to Romanian-speaking villages on the Ukraine-Romanian border. Just some amazing things as we're seeing God mobilizing the Romanian people for missions and getting a heart about missions. When we came in 97, it was like pulling teeth for them to consider foreign missions, because they were thinking, no, we need all the help. You know, we're the former communist country. We need to help. You need to help us. And everything is missions, and we're doing church planning, and that's missions. And come help us do that. But you know what? As we look at Scripture, we see that there is something a little bit different about going cross-culturally and how God brings people together. And it's an amazing thing to see how Paul does this and how he is open to that. But obviously, he's afraid. And the one nugget that I get from this, and I want to encourage you tonight, is what he says in these verses. He says, "For I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. for I have many in this city who are my people. I think that's interesting. I think that's wonderful. Even before Paul knew who they were, he says, there's some people here who are my people, and they're going to encourage you, and you are going to start something great. What's great about Corinth is you see him writing from Corinth back to other churches, encouraging people, and it's just amazing to see how God is working in Paul's life through this very, very difficult time. Thank you for being that to us in this very difficult time for us. We are right now going to our churches. I just came back from Iowa, we were there because Todd's church, First Family, is going to be sending a team to Romania this spring, May the 9th through the 19th. So if you'll pray about those dates, I will be returning with the team to help them and follow with them. Was able to visit my cousin, who is one of our supporters, a surgeon at the VA hospital in Des Moines, was able to visit with him, and his heart still beats for missions. He served with ABWE for some 8 to 10 years in Bangladesh, I believe that they're going to be going back in some capacity, helping once he retires, and looking forward to that. But just many exciting things to see how God is constantly moving. And there are constantly open doors. Many times you hear these themes in Scripture and you think, well, you know, this is just old hat, but it's not. And you have been a part of that. We've seen it this year already with Ms. Haley going to Togo. We've seen it with trips to India. God supplies needs all the time. And we just thank you for your encouragement. One of the things that happened since we've been gone and what just happened in Iowa was our car blew up. Actually, the engine blew up on the way back. So we didn't have a car. We were able to call ABWE and get some emergency funds so that we could get a vehicle. But be in prayer for that. We're definitely need to replace those funds. But we do have a vehicle. And the Lord provided one, and we're excited about that. But we do have to replace those funds. And just ask your prayer at this time for that. Also, as I said, pray for the team that is in Istanbul today. We came off a wonderful camp year. You saw some of the pictures for camp. We had over 30 saved in 4 weeks of camp, and we had 11 saved in a youth rally that we had. You saw the pictures of the paintballers. They love paintball. And so they had a rally, youth rally, and there were 11 professions of faith at that time. So it's exciting to see how God is working, exciting things happening, and it's because of you. It's because you prayed for us, you sent us out, and we are so thankful for each and every one of you. In conclusion, we look at this particular passage, and we see how God has set up this team out of Corinth. He started with some tent makers. He has some other missionaries with Silas and Timothy as they've come. Many people came to know Christ. They were focused on teaching and church planning. They were given over to studying the Word. And also they were willing to listen and be controlled by God. I've been reading recently a book by Gordon MacDonald about restoring or reviving our spiritual passions. And it's exciting to see how God does that. Most of the time he does that initially through people, through his word and through his people. And if you look at Paul's life, you can see how Paul had this done for him, because as Gordon MacDonald says, there's five different types of people. There's very resourceful people, and they're the ones who ignite our vision. You think of his Damascus Road encounter with the Lord, and then Ananias and Peter who taught and instructed him after that, who really ignited the fire in him and put everything together. We see that again with Apollos in this chapter 18, when you see Priscilla and Aquila coming alongside him after his message and said, you know, that was a good message, Apollos, but here's the rest of the story. So these laymen, these tent makers, go alongside him and say, listen, we want to encourage you, but here's what Jesus, here's the gospel, here's what it is. And he gets set on fire and is one of the wonderful teachers of Scripture. So we have those people in our lives that ignite us. I think of this church when we came down in, I believe it was 1992 or 93, we joined when Beth Ann's mom was so sick, and this church ignited our hearts for the ministry. We were already called to the mission field, but it was Steve Wingett who came alongside us and said, hey, why don't you consider Eastern Europe? And I said, well, we're really considering Germany. And I'm sure the Bergens are glad to know that. But anyway, we prayed and we prayed and we said, all right, Lord, we'll take our survey trip. So in 94, with at that time Michael Loftus, Dr. Loftus, we went with him to Romania and Hungary, and we only got to see Romania because Bethann got sick, and we only saw Romania, and that was enough. So we were able to be ignited by seeing other people and having people talk to us about those things, good things that are ignited by the Lord. And then also you have very important people. These are people that we can share, that share our passions, that come alongside us. And I still think of the Wingetts who are in that realm. We think of our team in Romania, Postumas, the Grafes, the Windhams, the Rummies, our team that is there in Romania, and they share our passions for reaching the lost as well. And then you have the third type of people, which are very trainable people. And here I think of my Romanian partners in the ministry and how we have taught each other. We learn from them as much as they learn from us, and they're able to catch our vision. And we saw that coming together there in Istanbul when you have all these people saying, yeah, you know what, that really works. And then you have really hard fields like the Czech Republic, which is very much an atheistic country, and they're saying, yeah, well, you know, we speak a Russian-based language or a Slavic language. Can you come over and help us? And there was a lot of networking going on there, which was an exciting thing to see. And that's what you see in this passage. People were hooking up from different parts of the world, an exciting time of sharing the gospel. Didn't matter what nationality, seemed like God was putting the people together, because God had people in this town. And I'll come back to that as well. The last two types of people are the people that are very nice people. They enjoy our passion. They enjoy seeing people get excited. But yet they just don't take that step to get involved. They enjoy riding the wave of the church. And many times I've been in churches where I know, you know what's going on in the background, that how difficult it is for people, but yet they sacrifice, they give, they want to help out of their need, they help other people. And then you have the very draining people, and they just sap your passion. And we've all experienced, possibly, at times, we ourselves have been that type of person, where we just seem like we're a wet blanket on everything. But if we look at Christ and his life, where did Christ spend most of his time? He spent most of his time with those people that share our passion and those people that catch our vision and training. And those are the things that we want to do in Romania as well. Thank you for praying for us every step of the way and for being right alongside of us. Thank you for praying for Beth Ann in these weeks of her going through illness and exhaustion. This was a time in our life that we will never forget. It was very difficult. We had just a couple of real tough times there, but I was able to call Pastor and say, please pray, and I know that you were praying for us. And then coming back here kind of under the wings of the church, we have been able to be renewed and just pray for us as we set up meetings, that we seek the Lord in everything that we do. And as Paul, that we will seek the Lord's vision, seek his Spirit's control in our lives, and we will appreciate your prayers. And thank you very much for loving us and loving the ministry in Romania.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Good report. I was just sitting here running back through my mind. I think it was 1992 that the church sent me to Romania with Buddy Nichols, and it was kind of a Titus group, and we spent probably better than a week in Bucharest, and we went to the Holy Trinity Baptist Church and spent time with those folks, talking to those people and everything. And the walls had just come down. In fact, the hotel we stayed in was just really right off that main drag, and I showed some of the pictures of the bullet holes, you know, that just perforated all of the that area and everything. So it was a pretty interesting and exciting kind of place. But what startled me, of course, was the realization was that the great need that many of these Romanian pastors had for someone to come alongside and to train and to be an encouragement. And so now, you know, here it is. You know, you're looking at almost 20 years later. Now you see them beginning to send out missionaries and beginning to pick up the vision and beginning to carry forth and do these other things. And that doesn't happen unless God, you know, sends some folks to kind of help organize that and work in training and discipling and being an encouragement. So that's a good encouragement, Scott. Thank you for that. Well, we can give to the car tonight to help in that area. So we'll ask that you give an offering tonight. And let me just say that whatever's not otherwise designated will go to the Staubs and to their ministry. Father, for this offering, we thank you. We thank you for Scott and Beth Ann and the family and the way that you love them and cared for them, Father. We pray that you'll refresh them in this furlough, Father, and strengthen them for what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.